And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to a different kind of Low Post podcast. This is the audio version of the Woj Low TV special season preview that went out last night on ESPN2. Hope you enjoy it.
We all know how great Anthony Davis is.
We're two guys who just want to win.
I guess this is real. Y'all are Clippers now.
Feels kind of surreal. It feels great.
I'm just excited to see what the new look's going to be.
We're here to build.
We have a great chance of winning it all.
I'm excited.
For me, I think it's a great change in my life.
Things change fast.
Welcome to our Bristol studios. The NBA season is almost here. I'm Zach Lowe, and this is the Woj Low special. Adrian Wojnarowski needs Zach. No introduction at all. How are you? We're almost there.
I'm great. Basketball season.
Almost here. We're going to be talking about the rise of the Big Twos in the Western and Eastern Conference, the top trade targets who can turn Big Twos into Big Two and a Halves, maybe Big Threes, and we're going to give our lists. Hopefully they're different of the teams with the best chance to win the NBA title, but we have to start with the biggest story in sports and maybe the biggest story in the world, and that's what's happening between the NBA and China after really an unbelievable 5 days. The Nets and the Lakers played a normal preseason game in front of a capacity crowd. However, nothing other than the game was normal. There were no sponsor logos. There was no media by the fiat of the Chinese government. Adam Silver didn't speak. The players didn't speak. This has been the biggest story in the world. There's another preseason game on Saturday that I guess we're going to assume is going to come off in the same way. There's a million different issues we can talk about from here, but Woj, where do you want to start?
I mean, start at the beginning. I mean, this is a league that has lived on Twitter, millions of tweets through the years of, you know, players, even executives, guys like you and me. There has never been a more consequential tweet than Daryl Morey's tweet about Hong Kong and the ripple effects, not just in the NBA, but globally. And Daryl Morey started a conversation in this country with one tweet, one NBA executive that hadn't existed through, a trade war, a back and forth between a president and the Chinese government. That changed with this Daryl Morey tweet, and no one imagined, least of all him, the impact it was going to have and the ripple effects now that are making, you know, people in the sport in this country look very differently at what it means to do business with China.
Well, and to me, the interesting question is what happens now? Because there appears to be something of a de-escalation in rhetoric and action. And from this vantage point right now, on Thursday night, it appears most likely that that game will be played. The teams will come home. Maybe Adam Silver makes one more semi-conciliatory statement to appease the Chinese government but not apologize. And so then what? So then maybe the Rockets games don't get broadcast there, but the other 2019 games do. Adam will have successfully played his leverage, which is, does the Chinese government really want their hundreds of millions of fans to be unhappy? And he played that. And the leverage of, as you said, you've now shined a light on an issue that wasn't getting enough play in the U.S. So that's the status quo. That's the status quo. But what now? Because nothing has really changed. The response of the Chinese government has been laid bare, right? The next time someone tweets about this or the next time this comes up, there's going to be an aggressive response. The human rights issues that have been at the heart of this are not going away. There are protesters in NBA arenas now getting thrown out because they're holding up signs about Hong Kong and other issues. There are American players playing in the Chinese Basketball Association who are going to be asked about this. There might be preseason games in China next year. We don't know. And so it seems like something of a cop-out to just come back and say, okay, whew, we got through that. That's kind of a win for us. The funnel of money is going to keep shooting our way. And so I'm interested in what happens now because the situation has been laid bare and it's not changing.
Well, it has forced the NBA and beyond to look in the mirror. And that's what happens when these teams come home now. And, you know, Adam Silver says, I am not going to police free speech, the freedom of expression among people in my league, whether it's owners, executives, players. That was made clear in his second statement. But
which was a necessary second statement.
Absolutely. But listen, he defends Daryl Morey's right to say what he said on Twitter. Let Daryl Morey try it again. Let any executive coach say something on that issue again, make a stand, and we'll see how much their free speech is protected by their owner, by their sponsors. That was a little bit of a retroactive protection of Daryl Morey. There's been a chilling effect around the NBA, and certainly players, you know, start with them, who want to protect the revenue that they have coming from China. There are, you know, signature shoe series, you know, Nike, Adidas, all the big brands. Those players make a lot of money, and they spend a lot of time in China in the offseason. And then you have players like a Klay Thompson and CJ McCollum who have deals with Chinese-based companies. So this story, while it may stabilize here for a couple days and the Lakers and Clippers come home, the story is only beginning.
It's not going away. And to your point, the NBA wants it known. We never apologized. Daryl Morey never used the word apology. We never apologized for the content of what Daryl Morey said about Hong Kong. But you did apologize for offending or making unhappy however many Chinese people were unhappy about this. And that's different than what has happened before. The NBA never apologized for the hurt feelings of conservative Americans when Greg Popovich called Donald Trump a coward, or when they ran a gun violence PSA that was a very clearly political act, even though they didn't want it to be. They never apologized for the hurt feelings. And when you do that, when you do apologize for the hurt feelings, it does have a chilling effect. Even if you say, well, you can say whatever you want, but if you follow that up with, you know what, that we're sorry that people were offended by that, that has a chilling effect. And that's why I think people thought the NBA's first statement was a little bit craven.
Yeah, and let me correct myself. Lakers Nets playing in China. This started as a Rockets issue. The Rockets being taken off of Chinese television, sponsorships going away. I mean, think of Daryl Morey and Yao Ming. Those two were very close. Yao Ming has been an integral part of the Rockets' history, and that may never be again. But this is a league-wide issue now with teams looking at the salary cap and how, hypothetically, if the NBA's media deal, content deal that's worth $200 million a year were to go away with Tencent in China, you know, look at it from last year's salary cap, $109 million. It would be down to 106. A player like Klay Thompson, who has a max contract, it would cost him almost $5 million. Now, we're not there yet. But
no, we're not even. No one has any idea.
There's been no suggestion that's going to go away. But have teams been checking with the league office to find out how they should measure salary cap numbers with some of the rookie contract extensions coming? Yes, they have, because they want to know, is it possible that cap is going to go down next year because of the fallout. Yeah.
And my 25% max contract that goes like this is all of a sudden going to go like this relative to the cap. Right. Look, those are the practical realities. You have to address the practical realities. This is obviously a much bigger issue. But the other reality is that the NBA season is starting in 10 days or so, and fans want talk about how that season is going to go. So when we come back, we are going to talk basketball. We're going to give our list of title contenders, how they're similar, how they're different, and talk about the best teams in the league.
People, do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose? It's as if they're so big and so unwieldy they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves that there's a better way. Search for sports, live music, comedy, theater, whatever. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. You only have to go to one place, not 5, 10, 15 secondary market sites. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. And finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. Green dots for good deals, red dots for maybe less good deals. Very, very easy to use. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the fastest and easiest way to find tickets. I've used their app many times before, including to get Hamilton tickets. SeatGeek will give you $10 off your first purchase. Wow. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today. Use promo code LOWE, L-O-W-E, my last name, the name of this podcast, The Low Post, for $10 off your first purchase. That's promo code LOWE, bam, $10 off your first purchase.
We're going to give everything we got. We're going to fight. We're going to compete. We can rally.
Just try to come out and match that emotion. Just be mentally focused. We'll see what happens. Play confident.
Klay Thompson in the zone, running the floor. A foul. Thompson grabs his left knee.
That knee injury will keep him out.
Straight to the top. I'm taking it, taking it.
NBA championship on the line.
The Curry puts up a three. Won't go.
We the North are now we the champions.
Welcome back to the Woj Low NBA season preview special. That feels like it happened somehow 2 weeks ago and like a lifetime ago. How about that? The defending champion, Toronto Raptors, the purple dinosaur team from the North, won it all. And then everything changed. All the star players switched teams. The landscape is totally different. Toronto's probably not a tier one title contender this year. Almost certainly not. Sorry to the Raptors fans. But this is the most wide open season in recent memory with the dismantling of the Warriors by injury and free agency defection. You and I both made our separate lists of our sort of inner circle tier one title contenders. We're going to put them up. I haven't seen yours yet. The suspense has been killing me all day. And bam, we do have some differences. We have the same five teams right off the top. You have Blazers and Nuggets as teams 6 and 7. You do not have the Rockets. Yep. I have the Rockets and not the Blazers and Nuggets. So I would say let's start with the differences because we're all going to agree on those top four teams at least. We can talk about Utah. You can pick the direction of this. Do you want to chastise me for having the Rockets and tell me why I'm wrong, or do you want to defend the Blazers and the Nuggets?
Yeah, I'm going on the defense. I'm going
positive.
On the
You're going positive. You're not going negative. You're going positive.
Yeah, it's too early in the campaign to go negative. So the Jazz, Blazers, Nuggets to me are teams. They're like the ankle injury away team who can win a title. That if they're playing the Clippers or Lakers in a playoff series and a Paul George goes out with an injury, LeBron or an Anthony Davis goes down, they are good enough, talented enough, they've had the continuity, they've got elite coaching to be able to overtake one of those teams and do something you rarely see in an NBA 4-of-7 series, an upset. But those teams are good enough to do that. But there's no question, you know, the Lakers and Clippers in the West and the Bucks and Sixers in the East are the elite.
So I believe in the Jazz. I don't think the Jazz are an ankle injury team. I think the Jazz, if they hit their ceiling, are just can win. Their problem in the last two playoffs has been a lack of another shot creator besides Donovan Mitchell and just missing wide open threes to like a preposterous degree. They should have corrected both of those problems by trading for Mike Conley and signing Bojan Bogdanovic. I really like the Jazz. I think they're two-way balanced. They've had the best defense in the West the last 2 years. I really like that team. Nuggets, Blazers, Rockets are kind of where the rubber meets the road. So why not Rockets?
I am not a believer in this tandem of James Harden and Russell Westbrook together, that's going to be a partnership that's going to allow the Rockets to do the last few years that no one else in the league could do. And that was really push the best team in the league to the limit in Golden State.
And that's why they're grandfathered in for me.
Right. And Westbrook, it is not as much offensively I worry about them together. Although, you know, what Westbrook does well, which is attack the rim, play with the ball. You know, he's going to have to play with James Harden. You've got to be able to play without the ball. You've got to be able to make open shots. Those haven't been his strengths, but defensively.
No, the open shot thing definitely has not been.
But defensively, I think the reason that the Rockets have been elite the last few years, yes, they'll score the ball. I do not think they will be an elite defensive team. And when you just talked about Utah, Utah will be. They were Quinn Snyder, and people are going to see it this year now. This is one of the very best coaches in the NBA. Now they've got shot makers. They are going to be really, really dangerous.
Yeah, I do think Russ brings ingredients that in theory the Rockets need. Pace, a little bit of chaos, a little bit of not James Harden dribbling 100 times as good as James Harden is. We'll see, but the Rockets are one of many examples this year. This has been the trend of the summer. Two stars, not three. A big two, not a big three. Now, the reality is almost every kind of team-building model has won, right? Like, what was Toronto? A big one? A big one and a half? What were the Dirk Nowitzki Mavs? There have been big threes throughout all of our lifetimes in Boston and L.A. and Miami and Cleveland. There's a big four in the Warriors. Big twos have won many times before. The history's been done. So I'm not sure any model is any better than the other. But what was your take on the big two? Was the big two an intentional creation of teams? Was it an accident of free agency? And where are we going from here?
Well, the players decided that it was going to be a big two and not a big three because two of the best three or four arguably players in the world, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, decided that they were going to be part of big twos. And if Kevin Durant stays in Golden State, if Kawhi goes to the Lakers instead of the Clippers. I mean, you would have shut the league down this year. There would have been one team and no oxygen for anybody else.
I think
else.
We all would have moved to Los Angeles. It would have been mandatory.
Absolutely. And so now the talent has spread out. This is always what Adam Silver imagined. This is what he's wanted. And it's not parity, but it's more parity among the elite players in the league. And you know, listen, they all flock to a couple markets, New York, Los Angeles.
They spread out, but they spread like way out to the coast. The big two, big three thing is interesting because the Nets and the Clippers three are the most interesting examples because they have two stars and they have depth. They have real legitimate depth. And that's what you sacrifice to get the third star. You sacrifice your depth. And I think the Nets, with a lot of young trade assets and a lot of draft picks, they have an extra first round pick coming in, are going to be the team that most faces the question, do we want to cash some of that depth in for a third star, or are we going to ride with that depth? And there's arguments either way. I mean, when your depth gets expensive, then you can't pay anybody, and you sort of missed a chance maybe to cash it in for a third star.
Zach, I think the Nets have a third star, Caris LeVert.
He might be. Yeah. And we're going to learn about, is he a third star? Is he a vehicle to get the third star? Right. And then you look around the league, and you think, well, when you get to the playoffs, the stars play all the minutes. That depth becomes a little less important. The more stars you have, the more insurance you have against an injury to one of them at the wrong time. That's why the Warriors decided, let's just sacrifice all our depth to get as many stars as we can. But it's going to be interesting to see how the teams navigate that. And the other question is, who is the third star? What guy is actually going to be available for trade? And you look around the league and there just aren't that many guys. And that's why I think a lot of eyes are going to be trained on Washington over the next year. And can we pry Bradley Beal loose from a Wizards team that is really in the doldrums, is waiting on John Wall's health? Mm-hmm. If there's another star player that's going to become available, it's someone years away or someone that's going to be a plot twist that we don't see coming.
Well, Bradley Beal's got 2 years left on his deal, and the Wizards have not given up hope of signing him to an extension. They've had 3-year, $111 million or so extension on the table for him to take in any form. Does he want 2 years, 3 years, or any form he wants? It is there waiting for him. So they are nowhere near the idea of moving Bradley Beal. They want to continue to try to rebuild around him, get John Wall back healthy. But because there are no big unrestricted free agents this summer, you know, 2021, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo is out there, but only one team can get him. Bradley Beal, if he got on the market, would bring back an absolute ransom, because if you want to improve your team in a dramatic way, he'd be the guy. But Washington's not doing that. They still want to re-sign
him. He's only 26. He's really, really good. And like I said, the next guy in line is either someone who's so young that they're years away from the kind of trade demand timetable ticking up, or it's someone that we just don't realize is going to be available.
And we know what's going to happen this year. Some team that we expect to have a great season, it's going to get sideways and someone's going to want out. And then all of a sudden, you know, that's the beauty of a season like this, where there's lots of teams and owners who think their team should be advancing deep in the playoffs.
Well, even if the Wizards don't get religion and try to trade Brad Beal for a bounty, there are going to be lots of other interesting players who maybe, maybe not, are going to be available for trade. We will dissect them. Who can really change the balance of power in the NBA? Who's going to be on the market when we come back? OKC sending point guard Westbrook to Houston.
I've known him for a very long time, so that chemistry we have on the court, you know, is easier.
No hesitation, Harden from Westbrook. No sequence for Westbrook and Harden.
This was the summer of the mega trade. Look at those names. Anthony Davis to the Lakers, Paul George to the Clippers for a million draft picks. Russ and CP traded for each other. This doesn't even include Kevin Durant, D'Angelo Russell, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, all the other people who changed teams. It was an absolutely wild summer, and those trades are in the books. Let's talk about guys who might be traded this season and could impact the championship race. And one of those names is mentioned a lot, and that's Chris Paul, now on the Oklahoma City Thunder, back where it all really started for him in Oklahoma City in the NBA. What are you hearing on CP?
Well, he's going to have to play really well in Oklahoma City for somebody to want to take on 3 years, $124 million, pay him $44 million in the final year of his contract. And
that's a really difficult proposition. And when Oklahoma City got him this summer, their plan was to try to flip him somewhere else. They hoped that Miami would be willing to talk about a deal, and that never got anywhere. But maybe the Heat get off to a bad start. Maybe they look at this again and other teams. But since Chris Paul played well when he was running the team in Houston last year, I think like 22-10.
Chris Paul is still really good.
Absolutely. And so this is an important year for him to get off to a good start and get some of his value back. He has value in the league, but not at those numbers.
So if I were a team that was sniffing around Chris Paul, what I would really be rooting for is for Toronto to get off to a shaky start and decide to bail out of the season and make Kyle Lowry available. Because to me, Kyle Lowry is a little bit younger. The mileage isn't the same, nearly the same. The health issues haven't been the same. He is much more comfortable playing off the ball, which makes him a fit with every superstar in the league. And I think teams would I think the Raptors could actually generate something of a bidding war, even though Kyle is 34. They just signed him to a one-year, $31 million extension. To me, if I'm Miami, Detroit, you could name lots of teams.
Minnesota.
Gerson Rosas has a connection with him. I think other teams would get in it. I even think the Clippers would sniff around it because he's such a good fit there. They just saw with Kawhi. That's the guy I would look at.
Right, and that's why a lot of the reason Toronto signed him to the deal. He is easier to trade under contract for next year at $31 million.
Absolutely.
And so you're going to have Marcus Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Kyle Lowry, all who the other two are in the last year of their deal, Gasol, Ibaka, and there could be at the trade deadline an exodus from the championship core.
And it's not a championship race anymore in the NBA if Andre Iguodala isn't involved. He's currently, people may not know this, he's on the Memphis Grizzlies. He plays or not plays for the Memphis Grizzlies. Whether it's a trade or a buyout, he has the potential to swing somebody's championship odds by a couple percentage points just because here's a guy who has a track record of making it difficult for LeBron and Kawhi and Paul George. And those are the kinds of teams, the teams at that level are going to try to get him.
And it's the two LA teams. It's the Lakers and it's the Clippers. And if there is a buyout at some point, and if Memphis can't trade him, that's where that will come down to, those two teams. Memphis is willing to hold on to him. And Iguodala is okay with sitting right now. He is, a little bit like what Roger Clemens used to do in baseball. He'd kind of sit out a lot of the regular season. He's advanced in years, come back in August. Iguodala's fine with seeing what the landscape looks like, and then jumping in on the season a little later because you're signing Andre Iguodala or trading for him for the postseason.
I wish we could get Utah involved. He'd be a great fit in Utah to guard all of those guys we just talked about. But that's it for now. Well, there'll be lots of other guys that become available via trade. When we come back, we'll talk about all the young guys that are up for their first big NBA contracts. Not Zion. He's set for a few years, but there are a bunch of interesting candidates. Welcome back to the Woj Low NBA Preview Special. The last drama, October 21st, the deadline for a rookie extension deals. They're the big names that are still eligible and might actually get one. They're the names that have already signed. Woj, what are you looking for as we approach the deadline?
A lot of leverage with this group because you have such a poor, sparse, unrestricted free agent group next summer. We're not counting Anthony Davis in it. We think he'll stay with the Lakers.
Boy, if he doesn't.
Yeah, but you have teams like Atlanta, Memphis, Charlotte, Toronto, who by then will be going young. They can throw big offer sheets at these players. Those aren't destinations that are going to get free agents, but those players, Siakam, Heal, Brown, Sabonis, Ingram, age-wise fit with those teams. They throw big offer sheets at them, and then their teams have to match them, so it behooves, whether it's Sacramento, Toronto, to really get near the max number right now to get a deal done. But Pascal Siakam, Hield, Jaylen Brown have a lot of leverage right now.
We'll see. Everybody needs wings. A lot of those guys are wings, and they do have some leverage. Well, that's it for the Woj Low NBA Special Preview. We'll have a bonus segment where we go further into this, but that's it for now. Remember to check out our podcasts, including the one on this show, and this guy's going to be a fixture on NBA Countdown this season. Enjoy the games. The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.